This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And Ciso. Oh, it's fabulous! A strike to get you up off your feet!
Hello and welcome back to Seagull Social Season 4, Episode 7. It is your boy, Ben. It's your boy, Ben. Christ, I sound like a 10-year-old YouTuber. It's your boy, Ben Spaulding, and I'm here with Ryan Edsett, and we're going to talk about AFC Bournemouth versus Brighton.
God, yeah.
How are you, Ryan?
It's good, wasn't it? I was all right, mate. I was
until that intro.
You did that. I just feel a bit sick actually,
but still pissed.
I'm all good, mate. It's good to see Brighton back to winning ways after our one game without a win.
Yes, too
how entitled we've got nowadays.
I know, exactly. We lose one game and we think it's all over, but I'm glad, you know, we were humbled, weren't we? As the Chelsea and Man United fans said, we were humbled after losing to AEK Athens. But then, as the stat proved after, I think in our 11 losses under Zerbe, we've always won the next game. And not knowing that stat, but just kind of having that feeling anyway, I was confident that we were going to get something out of Bournemouth. I think in the preview, me and Maz were kind of like joking, said it was going to be like 7-0. Well, you weren't, really.
I said it was going to be 7-0. I said record scoreline. But obviously, I was joking. I don't know. When I got to the game, I really wasn't confident. And going into it, it was really flat. Atmosphere was dead. And I just thought, I'm not so sure now. And I even said it to the people around me. I was like, I don't know about this. I really don't. And
it's the European hangover,
start
wasn't it?
Best, obviously, we'll get onto it.
You think the European hangover is just going to affect the players, but it affects the fans. Like, the fans have, you know, we went there Thursday night. I didn't go to the game on Sunday against Bournemouth. I was busy, unfortunately. But obviously, it
caught plastic.
Cheers, Ryan. Thanks, mate. But yeah, I can imagine going to that straight away. There's going to be a bit of a hangover from the game, not just for the players, but for the fans as well. You know, there's a bit deflating.
Yeah, of course.
We didn't actually get your thoughts on AEK Athens, but what, I don't know if you heard what me and Matt said, but we were saying about how the loss was obviously annoying, but I think the whole experience and the whole day made it better and made that loss feel a bit better and a bit more acceptable just because of the whole day and experience. But obviously, it was still a bad result. And yeah, I guess maybe that's why you probably thought, is that going to carry over into the Bournemouth match? And you actually did that thing, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think after the Athens one, I think it's a bit weird because I think it's a good thing that we lost early on to almost have that bit of a humbler, really. And I think, you know what De Zerbi's like? He only takes one hit to understand what he can't do. And I think that the fact that that's coming our opening game of the Europa League is a good thing. So I hope anyway that De Zerbi sort of sees that and knows straight away we can't get away with that when we go to Marseille in a couple of weeks' time. But yeah, I must admit, going into that Bournemouth game, I probably wouldn't say I was confident, but I think, I knew that we were very capable because at the same time, Bournemouth weren't very good.
I beg to differ. Really, I thought Bournemouth have been a lot better, and I think they will be absolutely fine this year. I don't think they've had good results.
They've gotten a lot better this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wasn't so sure that they were, I thought the first half they were okay, second half they were abysmal. Yeah. And I think that, but only because of the quality, it's just a quality difference. Mm-hmm. The way they're trying to play was decent, their pressing has been staying and all that sort of thing, which is good. But I think it was just a simple fact of, it was a bit like us when we first got Potter sort of thing. It was quite easy to beat them because they just weren't good enough to do what they wanted to do, if you know what I mean.
Which is mad to look how far we've come, thinking like, you know, we had an abysmal first half, bring on two players and the quality we've got on the bench to then completely change the game within 15 seconds of the players coming on. But we're all getting ahead of ourselves. I just want to, just because we just spoke about some Europa League stuff just then, I did want to say, just touched on it before, you know, the whole Ajax thing. So they were 3-0 down in like the 37th minute against Feyenoord, which is obviously a huge game for them. Ajax are like just below mid-table in the Eredivisie. And the fans started throwing stuff on the pitch, throwing flares on the pitch whilst they were 3-0 down. And then they started like leaving and then like tearing down their own stadium, essentially. And there were like horses running after all these fans. And it's chaotic, absolute chaos in the Eredivisie. And for one of the teams that we're going to be facing very soon. I don't know what your thoughts were that, because I don't want us to be beating them and then them kick off again. And then the match gets abandoned. The match got abandoned, so they're going to have to replay the game, even though Feyenoord are winning 3-0. Outrageous.
Yeah, I know. I did see this, and I thought, of all the games we've been given all these warnings about Athens fans being slightly crazy about Marseille fans, and we haven't actually heard anything about Ajax. And then you look over at Ajax at the moment, they sat the director of football late last night, they had all their riots during the game. I don't know. It could be a bit dodgy, you know, but... I'd like to think, and I hope anyway, that most of their frustrations are going to be taken out on their club and not so much ours. I suppose it's one of those, you go there, you act like an idiot, you get what you get. You know, we're not going to be doing that. I don't know, at the same time though, it's a club that clearly are in a very, very bad spot. And, you know, we are more than capable of making that worse. You know what we're like when a team's sort of in turmoil, we can really turn up and thrash them. So,
you know,
I hope for our case it's the same, but exactly. So, but we'll see. So it's a while off. Yeah, anyway,
it is. Yeah. I think, what is it? October? Oh no, it wasn't October 9th. Was it? Was it November 9th when November 9th when we play them away?
Yeah, it's November.
But obviously we play them at home, 2 weeks prior, because we got them, and I think maybe it's wrong, but yeah, anyway. But back to the Bournemouth game. Wasn't the best start, was it? I think I've got it written down here, as you know, because we ran through it before. Bournemouth domination is what I'd say before their goal. It seemed a bit shaky, and I'm guessing that's probably why you were thinking that it was going to be a tough afternoon.
I mean, De Zerbi said at the end of the game that it's the worst game that he's had since he's taken over, which. It isn't really wrong. I thought the first half.
Can you imagine being a Bournemouth fan really, hearing that? Really hard. You just lost 3-1, and the opposition manager saying, "Oh yeah, that's the worst we've played." which is mad.
But it's true, isn't it? It's the levels that we're at, and I think it's the first time someone mentioned it on Twitter that it's the first time where we actually felt like a big club. You know, we beat the team 3-1, very, very, very poor. They weren't very good either, and it was only just because our second gear was better than their best gear that we turned them over. And I must admit, it was probably the one time where I felt like a bit like a Man City or a Liverpool or something, you know, when they've not been very good, but they get a win over the line. We haven't really seen that before. But yeah, that first half, mate, was a very difficult watch. We honestly couldn't get out of sort of... I wouldn't even say the final third we got to. We didn't create any chances, really. But it was a really, really flat, weird first half where there was no runs being made. I think the only person that was making half an effort to make the run in behind, he tried it a few times, was Simon Adingra. He sort of made that run from the wing, sort of cutting across centrally for a long ball from Verbruggen, which obviously where the goal came from. And if you don't mind, I need to say this because it did wind me up at the time. I don't know if... the fans that went to the game go to the game very often. But if you do, surely by now, you must realise that Brighton play out from the back. So Brighton play football from the goalkeeper. And we score goals by using our goalkeeper. So to slate a 20-year-old goalkeeper on his, fourth game, third game? Yeah, booing him, jeering him, clapping him when he's got the ball, trying to get him to hurry up. What does that achieve?
Yeah, madness.
What does that actually achieve apart from knocking his confidence? It was mind blowing. And when Lewis Dunk had a go at the fans, it was actually a good thing. Because I know it's not the real Brighton fans who actually go to games and understand it and understand football. It's the people that are there they just, come on, hurry up, come on. Mm. And I was thinking, this is how we played for 2 years now? We play it slowly. We try and bait the press out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought, why are we booing our own players in our ever spot?
It was very bad.
In the best position we've ever been in.
It was very bad.
It's so embarrassing, mate. It was awful. It really annoyed me.
I was at the gym this morning talking to my Spurs mate, and even he was like, that's just like really poor. And from an unbiased point from him, he was like, it's obviously not Brighton fans that are maybe proper fans in that respect. Maybe there was a small pocket of fans that were booing and jeering out of frustration because we'd gone 1-0 down. Because obviously, I think that goal... That mistake was coming, wasn't it? Because I think he made one mistake prior to that where he gave the ball away. And then the one after that was when I think three players managed to close him down, which is nuts anyway. Like three Bournemouth players pressed him and there were no Brighton players around him. Mm-hmm. So Verbruggen just had to like panic and kick it away. Maybe you could argue he spent too much time on the ball, but this is how we play football, like you said. And yeah, he gave the ball away. And like this is how we play. And these mistakes are going to happen, especially when you've got a new goalkeeper. Like you said, he's probably played four competitive games for us. He's adjusting as well. We know he's good with his feet, supposedly, which is why you've bought him. So give him time. He's going to get used to this system. It's the same with any player in our team, that they have to get used to the system.
Yeah.
And yeah, mistakes are going to happen. And unfortunately, in Verbruggen's position, exactly, that's where mistakes are more likely to happen and where more costly mistakes are going to happen, like Solanke, which was quite a good finish in the end, like kind of dinking it over him. And yeah, they went 1-0 up. Mm. I guess they...
I heard a rumour that Jack Harbin actually celebrated that one.
Yeah, it's true. No, it's, dom dom dee dom it's dom dom. Solanke, dom Solanke. But yeah, it's a good. But yeah, it was a good finish. I rated it. Obviously, not too much.
Sorry, I just wanted to touch on a bit you said about De Zerbi, because he said just afterwards about Verbruggen saying he takes responsibility, and during the press conference, sort of last week before this game. God, it's been so many games, it fries your brain. So the press before the Bournemouth game, he sort of said, yeah, he's, what, 10, 15 days it takes these players to adapt to his system. So the fact he knows that is insane. Or it might have been 10, 15 weeks, actually, to adapt to his system. So he understands that if a new player comes in, they're going to have to spend at least, you know, sort of half a month trying to learn his new way, or at least a month trying to learn his new way. It was something like that. And the only way that they're going to be able to learn that is by playing. And
yeah. Well, that's like near enough 15 games as well, isn't it?
There you go. So 15 games, Verbruggen's played four. What was even more ridiculous, we've got a 20-year-old goalkeeper and we've got an 18-year-old Facundo Buonanotte. Don't get me wrong, he didn't have a good game at all. And I completely accept that. I didn't think he was good either. But people were just on his back, slating him, swearing at him, putting tweets about him. And I just thought, mate, we are, fair enough, if we've lost the game 8-0, like Sheffield United did the other day, and no one put a shift in. But to start getting on everyone's backs, and we've won four in our first five, the first time that a Premier League team has been able to do that outside of the Big Six, since 2005, by the way, and we're having a go at an 18-year-old winger, because we've had to rotate the squad, and a 20-year-old goalkeeper. And most of the people that are moaning at them are about four times their age. And you just think, why? Why are we doing this? So it's frustrating, really, because if you're a young player going through, you know, adjustment and trying to get into a new team, and then you've got the fans, your own fans, booing you and jeering you and telling you to get off the pitch and tweeting about you, swearing at you, what do you expect to happen? Yeah. It was just, honestly, it was so frustrating. And I'm so glad that we came back, because it proved how fickle they are, and they're all celebrating, doing the songs at the end, and you think, so, you know, it's just fickle fans. Well, football is frustrating because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the perfect example is, you know, Matoma went absolutely missing against Athens. That's just what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's going to happen. And then, obviously, he then pretty much wins us the match just 3 days later, whatever it is. It's just, that is football. And that's,
yeah, yeah, players are humans, it's mate. They're human beings, it's, you know?
And now, speaking of them being humans, like, yeah, the two players that got dragged off at half time, I saw them both out with their families in Hove last night as well. Like, Evan was having dinner with his family at one place I went to, and then walked past Latino America. I think Facundo Buonanotte was in there as well, gave him a wave and like was going, come on. And I think he was looking at me like, what the fuck are you doing, mate?
I was not surprised.
I forget yeah. Evan's, I walked past him and his family, I was like, yes, Evan, and was like, gave him like a nod, and then I forget he's 18, and obviously Facundo is as well, like you think
he's 18.
You look at them like grown men, but they're literally 18 years old. It's crazy. And I'm walking past them thinking he's like some,
mate, if they're walking out of like a college, Like,
yeah,
they're kids. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So this is the thing. So this is what I'm saying. Like, if I went to go down to, I don't know, where my old college, Worthing College, watch Worthing College play, right? 18-year-olds, bunch of 18-year-olds playing football. And I went down there just booing all of them. I'm going to look like such a weirdo for one, and two, a complete idiot, because it's just, why am I there at the college football booing everybody because they're not playing very well?
Yeah.
These guys, yes, I know they're paid considerably more money than these guys, and they're also a lot better than anybody at their college, but the same thing applies. What's it going to do to their confidence, for God's sake? Anyway, enough ranting about some of the fickleness, because
sort it out, fans. If you did boo,
not even sort it out, fans.
So also, if you did boo, let us know in the comments if you did and why you did boo, because you know we want to know that you might have a reason.
I don't care about booing.
Come on.
I don't care about booing the performance, because I don't get wrong, I wouldn't do it. But people can say they pay their money, vent their frustrations. If that's what they need to do, then do it. But abusing our own players just ain't it. It's just not what you do. So as a fan, you just don't do that. It's just wrong. Yeah. So that's my opinion.
Yeah. No,
but yeah, I just think it's stupid.
I'd like to think that most of our fans agree with us, because yeah, it's not, you don't boo your own players unless they've done something horrendously wrong. But yeah.
And then teenagers.
Teenagers. Luckily, just before half time, Billy Gilmore puts a cross in, which was going in, by the way. So I don't know, why it was given as a own goal, because you know it was going.
Yeah,
in.
Was it?
Was it going in? I'm pretty sure it was going in. Out. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was going in. I might be wrong. Someone tell me if.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. I thought, has this been given to Gilmore or not?
And yeah, it should have been. That would have been nice.
I don't know.
Yeah. But also, sorry, before that, they did have a couple penalty shouts. I know Purvis brought down Solanke quite early on. I think before they actually scored, get up. Okay, fair enough. Could have been contentious. You know, if it was a top six club, they probably would have got given that, to be fair, but because it was Bournemouth, they didn't. And then something else happened.
Yeah, you're right.
Did Dingra shove someone over in the penalty box, something like that? I can't remember. But yeah, they had a couple shouts. Yeah,
there was a couple of shouts. They're very weak ones. Yeah. It was one of them where, like, I thought anyway, there were so many times, and I actually thought the referee was awful this game. And it's actually quite good to say this one on the back of a win. Because always, when you say about a referee having a bad game, you sound bitter because you've lost the game. But actually, we won the game and I still think it was awful. I thought that the amount of times that a Bournemouth player was kicking the ball away or going to ground too easily or putting in a rash challenge and didn't get a yellow card. And I think the first time that Veltman did it, he kicked the ball away slightly, yellow card. Billy Gilmore does it because he dummied the ball. Yellow card. And I just thought, where's the consistency of this law? Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that the referee favours Bournemouth over us, but when you look on the basis of that, I think they only had about two yellows and we had about five, and you think about it and you think that doesn't quite add up when they're doing exactly the same thing. So it's just consistency of laws. It always makes me laugh as to how one week one rule for one team, one rule. It just never is the same, is it?
No, it's true. And I mean, even in the North London derby, I think Romero's handball was given as a penalty, but then when Man United played them at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, I think the same thing, similar thing happened. Romero handled it again, but that wasn't given. And I mean, there's been countless stuff for Brighton, for many clubs already this season, where consistency has just gone out the window. And even Ange Postecoglou was saying, I don't know what a penalty. I think a manager says that every single week in his post-match, at least one of the 20 managers says, I don't know what penalties are anymore. I don't know what the rules are anymore. And yeah, I mean, we completely agree, Big Ange. And I don't think anyone knows apart from the referees. But I mean, they don't even know because the amount of inconsistencies exactly. There are.
If you've got like professional managers at the highest level of football don't understand the rules, that's when you know that something could be wrong. I mean, I don't know, just a wild guess, but I'd say something might be wrong. Yeah, it's frustrating, mate. The refereeing performances consistently are awful. And something needs to change. It never will, as we always say. But yeah, luckily we got out of this one alive, because if we didn't, it could have been a very different and frustrating one.
Yeah, but then they don't seem to be getting better in Europe either, because I know the one that we had against Athens was pretty shite as well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But moving on, because positivity, positive things happened. Ansu Fati and Matoma came on. Evan Ferguson and Bueno Onote were subbed off. And it only took 15 to 16 seconds, because I said 15, you said 16. But 15 to 16 seconds for Ansu Fati to assist Matoma. And it was perfect. Like, that's what a brilliant start to the second half. The two substitutes, unbelievable impact. Straight away from the second half, Fati chasing the ball down. Wins the, well, kind of deflects off him, doesn't it, when he's charging down a ball. Goes to Matoma. Matoma, brilliant touch. Brings it down, gives it to Fati. Fati back to Matoma, tucks it in the bottom corner. Like, that is perfect. Perfect goal. Was there like mad relief in the stadium? Hood
back heel, mate. That's what it is.
Okay, was it?
but yeah,
yeah, it must have been mad relief in the stadium.
But it was, yeah, I think, again, it was Billy Gilmore really was the, in my opinion, completely best player on the pitch yesterday. I thought from back to front, he just run the game, as he always seems to do now. He's got a lot more of that in him. Second half starts, Matoma's chased it down, Fatty's Rose chasing it down. I think after that, it was just a Gilmore sort of just ran the game afterwards. But yeah, full credit to Ansu Fati, came on. I think we haven't seen enough of him yet, have we? To really prove. But I think he definitely has some touches there that were very, very classy.
No one was good against Athens. Like, because obviously, I think he played a full night against Athens. No one was good against Athens, and that was a pretty tough game to judge him on. So yeah, I kind of ignored that one. But it's good to see him get an assist in, you know, second, in his third game, I guess. This isn't it?
It was one of those where he sort of, yeah, charged at it. He should have scored, don't get me wrong, a bit later on. He's got a lot of learning to do. It feels like, I don't know about you, but he feels like he's just a bit scared to get injured again. Like a bit like how when Tarek came back for the first time. It seems like when he goes to run at somebody, he looks too cautious to go into
it.
We need Barca Ansu back, but... he's good to see him on there, and I think as well, Kerem Mitoma, as we've always said, magic man. When you need him, I think is more important, because I don't know. I was saying before the game, it's been a while since I've seen Kerem Mitoma on the score sheet, and then obviously he comes in and scores two goals. Perhaps it's one of them where, you know, as we said, all these footballers are human, Ben, but maybe we just need to start resting them a little bit more, because Mitoma must have played so many minutes now for us. You're muted, by the way.
Sorry, I didn't understand a word you said for the past like 10 seconds because you froze, but I'm assuming you said something good about Matoma.
Sorry about that.
That's fine. About
the fact he hasn't been scoring, and then he did score, and then about the fact he's back on the score sheet, he needs to be rested more.
Like we said, going from the game he had against AIK when he was missing, and then he goes and scores two goals, and he loves a goal against Bournemouth now. Hopefully that's going to be the narrative, because that's, what, 3-2? No, because he didn't score one in the away game, did he? So I guess it's just 3-3. But still good going. As long as we've got someone, because we used to have a little bit of a hoodoo against Bournemouth, especially when they had like Eddie Howe and Callum Wilson, that sort of thing. Then we never really used to get good results. But I think that's four wins in a row against him now, or maybe three wins in a row. I don't know. One of them. Yeah. But that was good.
I think it's three.
But obviously those subs paid off, because bringing off Ferguson, do you think Ferguson should have been the player to come off in that for Matoma and Fati? Because I know Facundo had a bad game.
I think Ferguson looked unwell.
Really?
I feel like he was just ill still. He just got shrugged off everything. Really wasn't in the game. It was one of those first halves where it just looked like we weren't in it at all, which was it's very unusual for us. So, yeah, Ferguson, unfortunately, it was the right move to take him off. A bit like
Is there
was
something
the right
in...
move to take off... Go on.
Bueno Onote. Is there something in Danny Welbeck and Ferguson playing together? Do you think that'll be an issue? Do you think they can play together?
Yeah. They probably can. I think it's just, I don't know. It never seems to have worked so far, is it? I just feel like Welbeck's a very, very good impact player, and a very good player when you need him. Is he going to be someone that starts with Ferguson? I'm not so sure, because they're very similar in terms of what they offer. I think Welbeck's very good when he drops deep, sort of collects the ball, drives the ball forward, and is very good with his head. I think it's probably the best attributes, I'd say, for Danny Welbeck. And then you just have Ferguson, sort of very good at collecting the ball deep, very, very, very good finisher, and very, very good shot striker. Ball striker. I'd say that they're pretty similar. So maybe, yeah, they need more balance. Ansu Fati, Karim Mitoma, probably a bit more dynamic, gives Welbeck more chance to drop back. I don't know.
Because when they played together against West Ham, that just didn't work. And then, you know, Welbeck was injured, so it was just Ferguson up front on his own against Newcastle, and he bangs a hat-trick. And then they played together again, and it didn't really work in the first half against Bournemouth. I feel like maybe we're just looking into it, but as fans of the club, we probably do need to overthink these things and look into these sorts of things. But, you know, who knows? Hopefully there won't be an issue with them two playing together. But then after that,
I mean,
speaking of changing the team, and doing those subs, obviously making two subs at half time shows that something is going wrong. And Zerbi put his hands up at full time saying, yeah, he changed the team too much. Well, he said that he changed the team too much. Obviously you've already said it was the worst he's played under him, but it's interesting that he actually admitted that he changed the team too much. I don't know if he means change the team too much on Thursday as well, or maybe just means today.
Sunday, he's saying about rotation. I heard the whole quote, and it's like, about the Europa fixtures, he just said because obviously we lost Pascal Gross, and then we got an injury to Milner, I think then we got an injury to Dunk. It was just one of them where he wanted to be more cautious, I think. And yeah, perhaps you need to take a bit more of a risk, but you understand the caution, don't you? I mean, if you're losing key players like Gross, like Dunk, it's a worry, isn't it? You don't want to lose anymore. Ferguson as well is quite injury prone. But yeah, I think, as you said earlier, it's like a big sigh of relief for us, because so many times Brighton, especially when losing like 1-0 to Bournemouth, for example, I just fully expected Bournemouth to just park the bus for the whole of the second half. I wouldn't have imagined us, you know, turning that around. I must admit, I said it at the time. I said, we're going to struggle now, aren't we? Because we always do. And it was just a big sigh of relief when Mitoma scored. Obviously, Gilmore scored, and then Mitoma scored again. We haven't done that for a while, which is quite nice. But yeah, rotation definitely affected us. I think when you bring the big boys on, it helps.
Yeah, and speaking of big boys, Carlos Baleba. Now I'm a Baleba.
Sorry, I have here to he is. That in there.
What do you
a
think?
Big boy.
Because
that's
everyone's
sure.
absolutely buzzing with the minutes that they saw him on the pitch. Is he the second coming of Moises Caicedo, or better?
No, he's not. He's not. I'm going to say that right now. He's not. He is like. Who would I say he is like? I would say he's very Yaya Toure or.
Oh,
I'm not saying he's, you know, Yaya Toure is probably one of the best midfielders of our generation. But that's the sort of build he was. He was quite big, very strong, very good tackler, but also driving it. And that's not really what Caicedo did. So I think that's where I'd draw the line between him and Caicedo. He really drives it and tries to win the ball back. If we've got someone that can drive and win the ball back, we have missed that so much in transition, so much in transition. And I think Brett Mendoza, shout out Brett, put it out. I think he said it was the first 50-50 that we've actually won in like literally weeks, and we scored
since Caicedo left.
And he's spot on, to be fair. And we need that. So yeah, hopefully him and Gilmore have a bit of a future, especially with obviously Gross out. I thought I still think De Hood's quite lightweight. I think he's very, very good on the ball. But I think, you know, in terms of tackling wise, I reckon you get past him, to be fair. He's very easy to get past. So, yeah, maybe in transition, that's where it's going to be worrying. Carlos, big man. Him and Gilmore could be a very, very, very exciting duo, especially with, you know, Caicedo, McAllister last season.
Yeah. So we're in safe hands I don't know the length of Pascal Gross of being out, but because it's usually, no, like my friend
said. So after international break, isn't it? Something was it?
Well, no, because then he played in Europe, didn't he? And against United. Oh, you're saying he's out until international break?
Did he get injured then? He's out until after internationals. Yeah,
Jesus
yeah.
Christ, I did not know that.
So, October, right. Late October.
Fuck, that's not ideal because no Pascal, no Park.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So you've got time for Baleba, you've got time for these players, you've got time for Dahoud to learn a bit more because, you know, it's a team of learning, I think. That's what it is. I mean, we win a lot of games. I think this is what it is. We're so used to winning now that when we don't, fans get fickle, as we mentioned earlier, but more importantly, you know, you don't want the players' heads to drop. And I think, yeah, luckily we won this game. It gives a chance for a lot of these players to be tested out. Obviously, we've got Chelsea in the week. Another chance for I'd start Baleba probably just to get that first start under his belt. I refuse to believe he's 19. If I'm honest, look at him. He just isn't 19.
Check his passport.
Is he? Like, let's be honest. But
like, check his hard drive.
Check his real one, anyway. Yeah. Check his real passport. But yeah,
Ryan, I'm looking at the fixtures. Without Pascal Gross or just the fixtures in general coming up, we have got some very, very tough games in the next six. So next six games, very tough. Like, this is a huge set. Well, what we go to September, end of September to October, is going to be absolutely huge. We've got, like you said, Chelsea next in the Carabao Cup, easy win because they're absolute diabolical. Sorry, don't take that. But as my
genuinely, and I know this isn't the Chelsea preview, but like, I wouldn't be surprised, also probably wouldn't mind as much losing to Chelsea, sacrificing that game a little bit. I know that would happen. I know that Deserve want to win every game, but I'm just looking at that fixture list and I'm looking at that squad, and we've got a great squad depth. You say, you can say the rest of the fixtures, but it is a bit tight.
Saturday, 12:30 kickoff at Villa Park, right off. That is a Brighton loss straight away. I'm sorry, but we never get a result against Villa, let alone at Villa Park. They're doing well at the moment as well. I think they're like sixth in the table. They just beat Chelsea. I know Chelsea got a red card in the 60th.
Seize a lot
minute.
Of chances, though.
Yeah, okay. But Ollie Watkins is on fire, I think. That's what it seems to be anyway. And yeah, I think whenever we play Villa, it's just not fun. And when I was asked, are you going to Villa Park? I was like, no, I'm never going back there. I've been there like three times and it's always shit. I hate going to Villa Park. And then the queues to get back.
I am
the train,
going again, I'm not going
to
lie.
Mate, I feel so bad for you. But just getting out of it, it's harder to get out of Villa Park than it is at Falmer. I'll just put it out there. After Aston Villa.
That's a shout, you know.
After Aston Villa, we've got Marseille away, which is going to be huge. And I'm 99% sure I'm going to that, which I can't believe. That'll be sick.
Hang on, it is Marseille. God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we've got Liverpool at home. And then you've got City away after that as well. And then Ajax at home. Oh my God, man. Next six games is going to be huge. The season's going to be mad. Just after those six games, like, we could still be in the League Cup. We could be top of our
defied in the next month.
I wouldn't go that far, but like, if we get a point, like, I guess, I don't really know. It will be tough. I think the league is going to
go that far, though. You think about it. That's what
the league is going to take a hit during this time, because I don't think we get. I genuinely think we're going to lose against Villa. I think we maybe get a point at home against Liverpool. Probably lose away at City. And those are our Premier League games, and that's going to be, the next three Premier League games don't look good right now for me.
That's two of the biggest in Europe and three of our competitors in the Prem. And not to mention Chelsea, obviously our biggest rivals now.
Biggest rival, yeah, exactly.
So, like, those are pretty...
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I guess it is
going to
be a mental...
season-defining sound very, very extreme. Yeah, but it's kind of true. You think about it. Think about the confidence in that... I don't get me wrong, I'm not saying everything falls apart if you don't win in October, but those October fixtures are enough to give you enough confidence. If you win most of them, mm-hmm. or come out pretty much unbeaten, you know, that's enough confidence to last you to New Year's. Or it's the other way around and you're, you know, not so well.
Yeah, well, it's going to be very tough. Sorry, going back to the Brighton match, obviously Mitoma scores a header again against Bournemouth. It was a lovely goal. I don't know who assisted it. I can't really remember, actually. Who did assist it?
Mr. Pignan, come on now.
Oh, was it
the
Purvis?
Best duo in the league.
I haven't even looked at my FPL this week, mate. It's been a big weekend. But I think I've done well in that.
Plastic.
Cheers, mate. I've been busy. I've been a busy man, you get me. Mitoma gets that one, 77th minute. And you think, the game's over. But Bournemouth then had a few late chances on. I think Purvis, the assister, made an unbelievable block. And then so did Lewis Dunk as well. I think Verbruggen was like clawing for the ball and it was about to go over the line. And then obviously Dunk is there to save the day. Unbelievable positioning.
What a player.
And it's scary.
More chesting as well.
Scary to think what we're going to be like without him, which I don't want to think about, because hopefully he can play for us until he's in a nursing home. Maybe that'd be good.
This is the thing,
when we don't have him, it's not ideal.
We were saying this, actually, Lewis Dunk back, just that leadership bit of calmness. You wouldn't have associated Lewis Dunk a few years ago to be in the bit of calmness and leadership, because he was the man to get sent off when things were going wrong or score an own goal when things weren't. And yeah, I think he's just, when he comes back, you just feel so much more assured. Even Webster, you know, he made Webster look very, very good in that game. I do stand by it that he makes other players look good. Obviously, De Zerbi would never admit that. But I think, you know, he just gives that much more aura, a lot more presence there, you know?
Yeah. I think I said it in the Athens review. I mean, we were giving Igor the ball as if he was Lewis Dunk, and like we were giving him the ball as if he was the orchestrator, like Lewis Dunk normally is. And that's why it kind of didn't work. And I know that's quite a lot of pressure for Igor coming in as like his first competitive game for us, first game in Europe.
Oh, yeah,
to be the orchestrator like that, which is obviously why the kind of defense
was he captain at Fiorentina.
I don't think so,
because for some reason I thought he was. Like, I don't know why I thought he was. Maybe it was just a false memory. I could have sworn he was in that Europa game, but maybe I was wrong. But I just thought, oh yeah, maybe we've got a bit of leadership in Igor, you know, we can rely on him. But I actually thought Igor was very, very good with his feet. I thought he had a really hard time from a lot of fans, because I didn't think he was as bad as everyone made him out to be. It was purely just sort of that lack of sort of chemistry between him and Van Hecker.
Yeah.
You know, they just got done on that turnover, really. That was it.
A lot of times, yeah. So that was a calamity game, and hopefully we can forget about that. Is there anything else you want to talk about for the Brighton game against Bournemouth? I think.
I think so. I think there's still a fair amount to talk about, if I'm honest with you. I think that we've
35
we've
minutes
really,
in
really touched on. I think Ansu Fati, obviously, we mentioned. I know. Yeah, I know. Need to get back to work and stuff. I get it, but I mean, yeah. I think just a lot of credit needs to go to us who say, obviously, Billy Gilmore deserves a lot of credit. I thought he was fantastic yesterday.
Yeah.
You all laughed at me when I said future leader. I'm just saying, future captain. I've got a feeling about him, you know. If there is someone that could grow into a bit of a leader, I feel like it could be him. But that's just me, yeah.
Unless Chelsea's re-signing because of that Carlos funny rumour.
Exciting.
Wasn't there? There was that rumour.
Oh, yeah, what, that the Chelsea one that doesn't exist. Yeah, that was the one.
That was funny. Yeah, yeah. Scouting.
And what, he has a buyback clause as well, wasn't it? No chance. I think it's surely by now. I mean, I saw a Chelsea tweet the other day about Colwill. I think it was Colwill saying he was overrated, can't defend. And obviously Caicedo got subbed off. And I just think, like, why would you bother? I mean, surely you would look at that and think, what's the point? Why would you do that? I think hopefully De Zerbi, I mean, I think he did reject him anyway, didn't he? But if they already want Poch out, it's been 5 games. You know what I mean? So surely if they got rid of Poch, De Zerbi looks at that and thinks,
yeah,
a poison chalice, I wouldn't bother with that. I mean, wouldn't you?
I think Graham Potter's got a better record at Chelsea than Poch has. I think Graham Potter got sacked for better results, didn't he? I might be wrong, but I feel like that. It feels that way because I feel like Chelsea are just constantly losing. Right. And Graham Potter got sacked, yeah.
Yeah, because Graham Potter drew a lot, didn't he? That was the thing. He drew a lot, whereas Potts just loses.
Better than losing all the time, yeah.
And it's quite funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know, mate. They're a mess. And it's quite funny, really. But they deserve it, so it is what it is. We'll see. Big game on Wednesday night. Are we going to cover this in this episode?
Let's do 10 minutes after this. We'll finish this episode and then we'll do it, and then we'll get that preview out like tomorrow or something like that, whenever this will go out. This should be out like Monday evening.
Nice one.
That's Monday now. All right. Okay, yeah. Cool. Brilliant. Thank you, Ryan, for coming. Maz was on a shoot and couldn't make it, unfortunately. It like went over the time that it was meant to.
That's what he called it.
We tried messaging every single Brighton creator under the sun. Under the sun in other universes, and no one could.
I've honestly been ignored on WhatsApp. I think, honestly, you guys let me down. I'm joking. They actually didn't. I did get a few replies in the end. I just haven't looked. But yeah, everyone says they're busy, which is always a great
on
lie,
a Monday. So, as cap,
yeah.
Start the cap. All right. Hopefully, we've done the game justice.
On a Monday, surely. Everyone's on that.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully, you've done the game justice, and you didn't boo. If you did boo, then boo you. All right. And on that note, like, subscribe, leave us a rating on Apple and Spotify. I'm so sorry. My head's absolutely frazzled. I think I feel like it's frazzled every fucking podcast, isn't it? Which is not ideal, but
yeah,
here we are. It is. I try my best and sometimes you don't succeed.
Like the best Brighton podcast out there. You know, that's what it is. We give you cutting edge insight and hungover Ben every single week. So why else would you want it? But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, like, subscribe.
I don't even know what you call it.
give us a rating of 5 stars, and we will see you very soon.
Peace.
Days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.